Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA. Blog Talk USA. Are you tired of waiting for change? Tune into Blog Talk USA. Let your voice be heard on Blog Talk USA.
I guess I'm on radio now. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome once again to Blog Talk USA Radio. We're jumping off of one Zoom onto radio. And as I was saying, and I thought I was already on the air, so welcome once again to Marvelous Monday. We're always happy to be right back here every Monday to share this special time with all of the great listeners out there around the globe and wherever you're located, in particular if you're located in the great state of Texas. We say welcome. And I was saying that we had an amazing weekend because we had graduates all over the place. We had Tyler High School here in Tyler, Texas. We had Tyler Legacy High School. We had Kilgore College. We had University of Texas at Tyler. We had Texas College, Jarvis Christian College. Let's see, we have Laterno. We have Wiley College in Marshall, Texas. These are our HBCUs. We've had an amazing weekend this past weekend with celebrations. And I say congratulations to every one of these amazing graduates, my dear friends, the Browns, and they have a granddaughter that graduated from Texas Tech with her bachelor's in journalism, and she's going to have an amazing job out there in central Georgia. And then they have their granddaughter who graduated from high school there outside of, say, Dallas, Texas, and just everywhere. And then, of course, Macaulay Komar McKellar, that will actually march, and I say he'll switch that tassel over to the other side for his high school, but he is already in college, already completed one semester of college. And so our children are doing amazing things. And then, of course, I believe Miss Rihanna's baby graduated from high school and that's heading off to college. So we want to say that we are so, so proud of the great work that our children are doing. They're making us look good, and they're carrying the names well. They're not going to jail. They're not getting into trouble. They're not doing any of those kinds of things. They're doing things to uplift the community and their surnames, and uplift the people that say, that is my grandchild, that is my child, that's my niece, that's my nephew. These children are really doing amazing things. And so we have to make sure that they know how much that we appreciate what they're doing in this community. So if you can, give them a dollar or so. I know if you're like me, you get a lot of invitations. And so, but I have one special one. And so my big focus is on that young man called Macaulay McKellar. They call him Big Mac. He calls himself Big Mac, even though I thought his grandfather, my husband, was Big Mac. But now he's got that name. And so whatever name he wants to carry, we allow him to do just that. But we just want all of the students around the nation to know how much that we appreciate the work that they are doing in this community. And we're going to see great things out there. We know that a young man out of, I believe, TCU, Texas Christian University, was accepted under the Joint Admissions Council, where he's going to be going to medical school. We see these children at very, very young ages doing outstanding things. I mean, they get into these colleges, and the next thing you know, they're ready to graduate, and they're graduating summa laude and magna cum laude, and then cum laude, and then you hear them others jokingly say, and thank you, Lordy, and but you say thank you, Lord, for all of those. No matter what level you are, if you're in the National Honor Society or not, but you graduated, you made the grades enough that you could come out and go out into the real world. So we say thank you. We say congratulations. We say keep up the great work. We say don't let anything stop you from moving forward. Anything or anyone stop you from moving forward. So as you know, also in the state of Texas and in many counties, we're having runoffs, early voting, I believe, began today for some of our county position. We only have one county runoff, and that's a county commissioner seat here in Smith County. And so we'll see how that turns out. That election is in a few days, I believe. It is on the 28th, and so that's here in Smith County is what we have. And then, of course, we have in our city government, we have runoff in District 2, and so we want to say get out there to the polls and vote. Our ancestors fought that we would have a voice. And so I'm writing an article, as a matter of fact, right now, writing an article on the importance of voting. And let me just tell you that there's been elections that have been won with 1 and 2 points more than another person. So it's important for all of us to get to the polls to vote. We know that in particular, people of color, black people, had to pay poll tax back in the day, and I can remember as a child growing up hearing our parents and our grandparents talk about the poll tax that they had to pay in order to be able to vote. And so we no longer have to pay those poll tax. I remember when my grandfather had his land, and of course they're deceased and passed on now, but they had all the workers out on the land working, and at that time they called the employees hands. And I'm going to have to ask, once the gentlemen come on, Pastor Cooper and Mr. Pratt brother, Mr. Arthur, I'm going to ask them if they know what that meant, because we didn't realize exactly what that meant as children growing up. And so, but we understood the concept. We learned later on that meant that those were employees that worked on the land, that worked in the agriculture industry with my parents and my father and my grandfather and those people. But that meant they had a lot of hands, physical hands, to help them work to farm, to drive the tractors, to get the watermelons out of the fields and get the roses out of the fields and get the whatever potatoes out of the fields and whatever it was that they were growing, that they were able to get those things out of the fields and into the market because they had lots of hands that were helping them to do that. And I tell the story about my grandfather, the late Mr. Mitchell Irwin, who actually devised a little gadget to go on his tractor that would help to plant potato slips into the ground. Those were the sweet potato slips, to put them into the ground and be able to do that a lot faster than people having to go along the rows and push those slips into the ground with their hands. And then, of course, that was during the early 40s, and so my grandfather was invited to come to the White House, and President Roosevelt, time was the president, and gave him accommodations for coming up with that little gadget. But what my grandfather did not know and was not aware of, and that was that things had to be copyrighted so that it would become yours. And so because they did not know about that back in 1942, so that little gadget got away from him, and some other people picked it up and manufactured it and carried it along the way. But those are the kinds of things that did happen back in the early days after the Civil War and so forth. But it was a learning curve, and that's why we want to make sure that our history is known, because Black history is American history, and I'm talking about some Black history right now, and many other historical events that happened during our course of time. So let's salute our children. Let's push our children. Let's encourage them to move forward, becoming doctors, nurses, attorneys, just all of the whole nine yards, whatever it is, entrepreneurs, business people. There are so many avenues and activities and things that are out there in the nation that they can be successful at. The next thing is that we're preparing Fast and Steady for Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated International Conference, and we call that our BULE, and that will be held in Dallas, Texas. So this past weekend, we were there at the Hilton Lincoln Center there in the Galleria. We all came together, lots and lots of us that are working on that committee for our international president, Ms. Danette Anthony Reed, and her work that she's doing and has done here in our nation for the last few years. It's an honor to be able to serve for her and with her and her committees. So we had our meeting, our big giant meeting, 400 or 500 sorority sisters were there at the hotel. We took all of our photographs to prepare for July the 6th through the 11th, I believe is the exact date. We will, of course, be there a little bit early on because we'll be setting up just shortly after July 4th. We'll be heading, or the evening of July 4th, we'll be heading into the Dallas area. Right now, there's over 20,000 sorority sisters that are registered for our international conference that will be held there in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be amazing. If you haven't registered, if the sorority sisters have not registered, it's actually a little too late because the registration ended on Friday. I'm going to take a drink. So it ended on Friday, but I got my registration in, and so I'm ready to go. We're getting our garments all put together. We'll be wearing green, and we'll be wearing a pink, and then we'll be wearing pink and green, and then there will be days that we'll have on a black, and then there are days that we will have on our white, and the purpose of the white is to honor that's what we call our Ivy Beyond the Wall, where we will honor those sorority sisters who have passed on and remembering them and the great works that they have done during their time here on this earth. So speaking of that, we want to say that we offer our condolences to my husband and his family on the demise of their aunt, who was 97. And her service was this past Friday, and because of my grandson's celebration, we could not attend, but we were able to share the Zoom on a Friday afternoon with the family. And so there are many family members that traveled to Los Angeles, Southern California, for her service. She left a legacy that was remarkable, and to hear about what all she did and how she served that community for where they lived. There in Southern California, in Gardena is where she lived, and she was an educator for 40 years, and she had students to come back to talk about the impression that she left on them and how she inspired them, how she gave her money to them to help feed them, to help clothe them. And that's why we say all the time that it takes the village to rear our children. So she was a giver, and she protected and loved children. And when she saw something in you in particular, or even if she saw that you needed some guidance, a little bit more guidance maybe than the next child did, she was right there helping to boost you along the way. So her name was Letha Jane Fonoy Lawson. And so she is gone, but her life still lives in the lives of all of those that spoke about her and cared about her. Lots of tears were shed just listening to the work that Aunt Letha Jane. She never forgot your birthday. She never forgot your children's birthdays. We could always depend on Aunt Letha, getting something from Aunt Letha. And she was really special to my husband simply because he spent his first 2 years of college. He went to Los Angeles City College, spent his first 2 years staying in her home while he attended school there before moving on to senior college. So we really, really hold a special feeling in our hearts for her. And then on yesterday, their eldest, my husband's eldest first cousin, left as well. So we want to offer our condolences to that part of the family as well. So we had that back to back for them, but they lived nice long lives in number way past the years that we're given, which is 70 years. So we just are thankful that they lived into their 80s and Aunt Letha into 97. That's a long time, a beautiful, beautiful life. And so we appreciate that. So let me see if I'm still on by myself. I don't know if anybody's there. Pastor Cooper, are you there? Miss Rihanna, are you there? Mr. Arthur, are you there? And I think someone sent a message saying that they were going to be a little late coming on, and I don't remember who that was. Miss Rihanna said she's running a bit late. And so, okay, so she's on her way home. But Kate's a senior award ceremony, and see, my grandson already had his award ceremony. Kate is the one that I was telling you about, Miss Rihanna's baby. The daughter, my granddaughter, who's graduating this year. And that's what I mean. And the Mr. Arthur said he was going to be a little bit late tonight as well. So I can't say enough about what these young folk are doing and how we have to support them 100%, because they're just making, they're making our lives so rich and prosperous. By doing all these things that we've taught and spent time in teaching them and making sure that they learn it. And let me just tell you, they have learned it. And so we salute Kate and say congratulations to you and your senior awards and all the things that you're getting. I mean, it's just so, so wonderful to hear kiddos graduating in the top 10% of their class and the top 25% of their class. And then they're graduating with straight A's, summa cum laude from the colleges, and then magna cum laude. And I must say, my husband graduated magna cum laude. I graduated magna cum laude. And so it takes a lot of studying, hard hours, long hours of studying in order to make these grades. And so we just say go forth and continue to do great things and continue to make us proud. So let's see, Dr. Hagney, we're really missing Dr. Hagney these days. we need to give him a call and let him know that we need him on. We need his update. And then, of course, we know that Dr. Odell Carr is very, very busy in working his campaign. And so anything that we can do to aid and assist him in that, he's running for a state representative over there in Arkansas. And so we just encourage, and that those elections are coming up very soon. Those are November elections, so they have to be out there on the streets, their boots on the ground, making sure that they are getting that message that they have, their platform message, out there all around, everywhere, to everybody. And so, and then let me just say a little bit about where I am in my political arena. I am now working on my final term of city council. I have thoroughly enjoyed the last 5 years. I have one more after this May, one more year, and I would have termed out. We could only run three terms and 6 years on city council, and then you term out. So a lot of the cities don't have those term limits, but we do have those term limits here in the city of Tyler, Texas. So I'm about to get to the end of my term, and once again, I'll be back to you a little bit later on to talk about what my next venture will be as far as my political career. So. And then let me just bring this by you that, and we thank First Sergeant, my First Sergeant from the military, First Sergeant Daryl Eddings, who went out to Michigan for the memorial for the late Mr. Donnie Walker. And I'm going to tell you, it's a hard pill to swallow to know that Donnie Walker is no longer on this earth with us. Donnie Walker was an outstanding journalist, radio personality, but he was just a good, good person. And I know the chief misses him. It's hard for us to believe that Donnie is not with us anymore, but he was a firecracker. He was the life of the party. He was always a deep, deep thinker. He loved people. And he loved justice, and he would be so proud to hear that Mr. Daryl L. Davis has been vindicated from his situation that he found himself in, that he was innocent of it. He was accused of swallowing crack, and we know that it did not happen. Mr. Davis has done outstanding work in going back to college, getting his degree, graduating with honors, and just doing great work in the community. He started the Daryl L. Davis Youth Foundation, and so we're so happy that all of that is behind him, and we thank the district attorney and his office here in Tyler for downgrading that charge to a Class C misdemeanor, and it's all behind him. And so one day we'll have Mr. Daryl Davis to come on and talk about what his next plans are for the work that he's going to be doing here in the community. And I know that he loves children as well, and he is a great influence and mentor for the young boys in particular. But every single year in August, he has this big backpack program where every Christmas he has the bicycle and toy program that he gives out so many, 10, 15 bicycles, toys for our young children, and then getting them ready for school in August by making sure they got pads and pencils and backpacks and the things that they need in order to kick off their school year. So we just appreciate him for his great work and ask him to please continue the work that you're doing. So let's see. I think I about covered all of the announcements and things. I did get a phone call today, and it was from from some of the union people at Trane, and that used to be General Electric. Then it went to Trane. Then it went to Halliburton, and I'm not sure what it's called right now, but I can tell you that that they're in the negotiation phases, and that they that they didn't like the contract that was given to them, so they decided to pick it, I believe, and then so they're this is what they informed us that they were doing today, and they're trying to get a better contract is what we were told. And okay, so well, we are still attempting to exit the jamming parking. So that's everybody's trying to get out of the parking lot, Miss Rihanna is telling us. But that's what's going on with us here in the city. The other thing I wanted to mention, which people talk about our economy. And I say, I look around and I look in the malls. I look at the restaurants in the city. I look at the outlet malls. I look all up and down Interstate 20. People are traveling. They're spending money. They're eating out all the time. All the parking lots in the restaurants are filled up with people. So I say that our economy is booming. This is what I say that we need to make a change with. And that is people know, supermarket people, grocers, they know that we have to eat. And so, therefore, consequently, the groceries are priced pretty pricey. That's where we're having to spend a lot of money on groceries. And so let me share with you what happened in Tyler, Texas today. So two of the markets. One of the big ones, big chain, the big box market called Walmart, and then our Brookshire, they all came together, and the two came together, and they decided to produce and the meats and some of the things in the stores, because we just see a little bit of price gouging. And so we were happy to see that happen today. Hopefully that it didn't just happen in our city, that is happening in other parts of the country and other parts of the state of Texas and all that. So that is what happened today, and I was great and happy. That was great, and I was very happy to hear that on the news today. So we're going to rush out on tomorrow and buy up a lot of the fresh fruits because we make smoothies every day. Sometimes we make more than one smoothie a day at our home. So we love those fruit smoothies. So we're going to go and get plenty of fruit and stock up in the refrigerator again. And we don't have to pay those big prices because there's going to be a slash. There's going to be a little bit of a cut in those prices. So thank you to the markets that joined together and decided that they would do that. And then we want to think about and pray for those down there in Houston, Texas, that experienced the flood. Lots of roads were shut down, lots of areas there in Houston that flooded once again. They're in their homes and all that. Now, I have lots of family and friends that live down there, and so it did not happen in the side of the city where they live. But some of our other friends that maybe we don't know who know them, but it's happened to some of the people in other parts of the area. So, and then we heard on the news this afternoon, a little while ago, the 6 o'clock news, I guess it was, saying that storm is going to be coming back in on Wednesday or Thursday. And then, of course, Wednesday is the actual march and graduation and the regalia, the cap and gown for my grandson. So we'll have to head back to Dallas for that. So hopefully the weather won't be so inclement, won't be so bad that we won't be able to go and attend his actual graduation where he marches across the stage. And then, of course, he heads back to college and go from there. So that's it. That's what's going on in our world. So let me check once again to see if any of the co-hosts are on. Mr. Arthur, are you there? Okay, I guess not. And Pastor Cooper, I guess not, is not there yet. And so the rest of them are not there. So we just will continue on with where we're going with our monologue for tonight. There will be marriage seminar. I believe it's going to be in Tennessee, and that's going to be in August, and that's going to encompass all of those who plan on getting married, meaning if they're engaged. So we talk about it, and of course, Pastor Cooper come later, and he would talk more about this, but I think it's really important and pretty crucial, as a matter of fact, for if a young couple is contemplating marriage, that they go through a marriage counseling and they spend some time, some serious time, learning each other and learning the wants and dislikes of each other to make sure that you're very compatible with each other. And so that's going to be a 5-day seminar out there in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, in August. And so for those, if we have any young couples that are contemplating, you know, marriage season is coming up starting May, because I believe next week is Memorial Weekend. So usually you start seeing weddings getting ready to pop up, and you certainly see them in June, and then you see them in July, and you see them in August, and then even first part of September, my anniversary, September 3rd, Labor Day weekend. So usually people try to have weddings around holiday weekends when they have a long weekend where people can take off and be a part of that. But spend some time with people like Pastor Cooper, who does marriage counseling, who does counseling, period. But at least 6 months to a year is probably a perfect time, length of time. And some people may not be able to spend that much time, but certainly that is a 6 months is certainly a great time to be able to do that. But if you can do it at least 3 months, but just do it. Talk to your spiritual advisor, somebody, so that you will learn more about each other. And the more you know about one another and the more you learn about each other, the better your relationship will become, the stronger it will become, and go from there. And then I always say this, and this is really, really important. Get to know the family. Get to know the family and what their culture is and their custom is and their values. All of that is really, really important when it comes down to marriage, because you don't just marry your husband or your wife. You actually marry into a family of people. Remember that. Marry into a family of people. So get to know that family. Get to know the father and the mother, the siblings, but just get to know them. The aunts and uncles, they'll all be at the weddings, and then they'll be at family reunions. And so it's just really important to get to know that family. Okay, so marriage is coming up, marriage counseling. I want to go back to Pastor Cooper. Well, Pastor Cooper must have heard me talking about marriage. So good evening, Pastor Cooper. How are you?
Wonderful. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you well. See, now I got the pro in here to talk about.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I lean not to my own understanding. Yeah.
Well, I was telling them that we're coming up on marriage season. You start having weddings From next weekend is Memorial Weekend. We start having weddings, and we go into June and July and August and all of September. Yes, I was talking about the importance of young couples sitting down with people like you and their religious, their spiritual guidance, spiritual leaders, and get to know each other. The more they know about one another, the stronger that marriage would become. Can I get a testimony from you?
You can get an amen from me on that, absolutely.
Well, he
tells us that our people perish for lack of knowledge, and so you need to learn about one another and learn about each other's background, because we all come from separate backgrounds and settings.
That's it.
And we all have our own luggage and our own issues and our own ideology. And so it's more than just a religion thing. You have to deal with the physical as well as the spiritual. Matter of fact, there's a recommendation, and you and I, we're all so busy. If we had the time, we can write 50 books. So I don't have the time. So there are some books out there I'm going to recommend. This one book is Dr. Leslie. Dr. and Dr. Leslie. Both of their names Leslie. I don't recall the first name. But if you look at them, and they're marriage counselors, and they have this little short, quick read book, it's awesome. And they deal with the smallest of things. And you can get a video if you like. Things like, okay, do we bring out the ketchup in a bottle and squeeze it and it goes everywhere, or do we put it into a vase and bring it and put it on the table? Because it's simple things that we don't talk about, don't look at. Your mother did it one way, his mother did it another way. How do we deal with that? Who takes out the trash? Everyone just assumes that's a male's role. You have to talk about it. Do we have shared bank accounts? Who handles the bills? Who's more capable of handling the bills?
There you go.
There's so many different parts that's moving. And then you put the spiritual on top of it, and this is one that gets people, especially those of us that's believers. I tell them and I challenge them. I say, listen, you have to realize that you're not signing a contract in marriage. It's a covenant. It's not between you and that person. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. And so as the husband, your job is to be the head. Now, some people don't like that, okay? But what you don't realize that when you are the head, that means you are to submit yourself to your helpmeet.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're submitting yourself, and I take a passage out of wrestling. There's a submission hold, which means that you reverse yourself and place yourself down on the mat, which means that you are the beneath now.
Okay.
And, you know, we always like to talk about we're the head and not the tail, the above only, not the beneath.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but the God, Jesus told us, he said, the least of them is the greatest. The servant is the greatest. So, men, when you are the head, that means that you are the one that's last to eat, last to stand, last to your wife, your groom, your
that's
bride
true.
Ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
it.
When you
that's
do
it.
That, then you are the head
right.
of your household.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that you said a mouthful there. And so the more you spend with talking to a counselor or spend with each other, you know what your expectations are, and that's what you're talking about, your expectations for the future. What, you know, lay out
absolutely.
Your plan. What are you?
No surprise.
That's right. And a lot of people don't do that, and that's why you rush to divorce courts before you know it. But it shows up that scene, you know, that you're seamless, I guess I would say. It's like taking a thread and needle and sew you together, right?
Absolutely.
There's separation. That is like a piece of fabric, two pieces of fabric, and you sew it together, and now it's seamless, right?
Amen. Amen. And that's how you do it. And you're quoting scripture all in that. And the Bible gets right. And you said earlier, sit down, write it down. He said, write the vision, make it plain. And so you have to write out a plan, because every couple, every single couple, two people, are different because the dynamics in which you come together is like your fingerprint. The DNA of you and your husband are different than the DNA of me and my wife.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly
so
correct.
So you have to figure out what works for you, you know.
Right.
You have to go back and I have the name of the book. I want the people to know the doctors, both of them are doctors, PhD. Listen,
okay.
I just said I love folks in education. Matter of fact, my wife thinks I'm crazy. Now, you know, and Brother Austin, everybody knows, I have an honorary doctorate. But I'm working on two doctors at the same time.
Right.
Why would I continue? I already have doctor in my name. Because it's not about that. It's about the knowledge. Are people prepared like us?
Sure.
So both of these counselors, husband and wife, both are doctors.
That's
Les and Leslie Parrott. Oh, yeah. Les and Leslie Parrott, P-A-R-R-O-T-T. I have no
their
stock in that game.
Wow.
Yeah, the name's similar. And so healthy marriage and happy families. And they deal with intricate details. Yes.
Okay.
So if you're considering getting married, you need to check out these books. Check out the video online.
Yeah.
I mean, they go through the smallest things. Most people think that that you divorce over money. That's the last thing that people have divorce over.
Yeah. Oh,
people
so
have divorce over. Oh yeah, yeah. Toast. Food.
Wait a minute. Somebody told me, Pastor. Let me. I have to throw the man didn't let the commode top down.
Yeah. See. Absolutely. And he probably grew up in the house with them boys. And so you gotta let that in your marriage. And he's probably a wonderful father, and you've lost that man because of a toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, So one of the things, I have a good friend of mine, and I got sad and depressed, and he saw my face. Because I don't play poker very well. I mean, you see it on my face. I turn red, I get mad, I deal with all the emotions, you know. And so he told me he and his wife divorced because his wife would put sugar on all her food.
Oh, my. Instead of him saying,
and,
don't put sugar on the food?
Well, he would tell her, but she would continue and do it with the kids, too. And he was worried about them becoming diabetic or whatever. Da, 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 da. And he said, if I go back and look at it, he said, if I had just hung in there and just continue to be consistent in my request.
Right.
I'd be better off than had we divorced. Because guess what? I went from having my kids all day, every day, to having them sometimes share custody for 12 or 14 years of their life. I said, my
that's
Lord.
It.
I said, I said, have you gone back and told another? Because we ought to disciple one another. We ought to go back because everyone is not listening to a preacher. I said, you have to go tell yourself. That's why we used to have testimonials in churches. Go tell your testimony.
Sure.
And let someone know, and you might save a marriage, save a life, save a child.
That's that is exactly correct. Because, you know, what's really important and that people may not stop to think because, you know, you probably decide if you're going to have children, right? But you got to remember that those children are very temporary in that home, and you're suddenly going to end up with just the two of you back there again forever. Started out, that's the way you're going to end up if you happen to have children. And children get out of the house and go on their way. Because I reared my children up to leave home, you know, because I want them to become independent and out there on their own.
Absolutely. My children are not comfortable being in the house after 3 days. They're like, ooh, I got to go home. I got to get out of here.
You know, and we don't mind them coming back. We want them to come back and all that.
Absolutely.
But we want them to be viable, independent young folks.
Contributing.
That's exactly right. I tell the story all the time of that that when my son came back from college and he started working and we didn't need his money, but we charged him anyway because that taught him responsibility.
Yeah,
it was it was $100 a month is what we said.
Absolutely.
Just
I paid $150. At 16, I started my own company. Yeah, and my father told me, I said, Dad, you know, all the guys that work for you, they sit there and they get paid. I said, I don't get paid. He said, come here, let me show you something. He opened up the refrigerator. He said, you see all that food? He said, you didn't pay for that. I said, no, sir. He said, you see that light? It comes on. Every time you hit that light switch, it comes on. I said, yeah. He said,
you didn't pay
that light bill?
No, sir.
I went to sleep that night. I woke up the next morning. I got this message. I said, Daddy, this is the deal. I said, I'm firing you. I'm no longer working for you. And I'm going to pay you $150 a month rent. I was 16 years old. No
wow.
one told me that.
Is that right?
16 years
Is
old.
Is that right?
I pay you $150 a month rent. And I don't want you to ever pay me. I'm going to start my own company. Now, watch this, though, sis. I started my lawn service. I said, Dad, can I borrow a gas tank? He said, okay. I said, can I borrow your lawnmower? Because I had nothing. I said, can I borrow your lawnmower? He said,
right.
Yeah, yeah. And then watch this. When he turned his back to it, he taught me how to siphon gas out of a truck. And I took 2 gallons of his gas. Went down the street, knocked at 5 doors. Got my first 5 customers, got enough money to go back, and I purchased his lawnmower from him. And then that started me off in my career. I'm telling
wow.
you.
That's
absolutely.
Beautiful. That's
he
beautiful.
Made a man. He won. He made a man
he made
out
a
of
man,
me.
He made a man out of you, didn't he? Yes, he
made
did.
Made a man out of me. Yes, he
yes,
did.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Well, we have yeah. something to happen in this world. Today, I guess it was, the president of Iran.
I hadn't seen the news. What happened?
He was killed in a helicopter crash last night?
Let me see.
He died in...
helicopter crash. There it is.
Yeah. Mohammed. Mossberg. Became the acting. I think he was the vice president, right? But
this is President Razi.
Razi died. Was killed in a helicopter crash.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It sure was. They found, you know, that he left. He had been speaking somewhere, but you know, check out the weather and stuff before they get in these planes, don't they?
In poor weather, wow, and in mountains. That's two bad combinations, right? That same thing happened to Kobe because of the bad weather.
You know, I immediately thought about Kobe Bryant when I saw it on the news. I immediately thought about it.
This is really disheartening because today I was looking at charter helicopters because COVID shut down our location in Houston. I have a church over in that area. We have a campus there. And we, you know, I plant churches. And so we're in that area. And so it was a drive. I would drive. There's so much we don't talk about that we all do. I drove for like 5 years, 2 hours one way, 2 hours the other way, and come back and I do two services in the morning. And kind of like Pastor Sherman. And I had 9 o'clock service in Houston. I come back to my 11 o'clock service in Beaumont, and I had to be on exact time, or I missed one of the services.
Right.
And so today I was looking at chartering a helicopter so I can take myself off the road. And now I hear this. This is confirmation for me to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not messing with that right now.
I'm telling you, listen.
And
there was people dancing in the streets about his death.
Oh yeah, I have good friends that's Iranian, and they have a lot to say. You know, I have to be careful because you know, with Palestine, you got those that's protesting. You have folks like Mr. Arthur that has, you know, thoughts on it, and the other folks have thoughts. That's a lot of stuff going on there with Iran, Palestine, Israel, Hamas.
Yes. A lot.
It's a lot.
I'm telling you.
So that's why I just say, let's cease from war. You know, cease and desist.
Yep.
That's the best statement I can give. Oh. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, what
he said,
we're going to make it to heaven. We're going to study war no more.
Study war no more. That's right. It'd be a peaceful place.
Paid
with gold.
Yes. Ooh, you're going to make me happy.
yes. Mr. Arthur asked, are we on? Of course we are.
Yeah, we're on. Like, I got you all to myself. He's jealous. He's trying to get on the show. I block him. I'm not letting him in. Hold on. I'm blocking him right now.
You know you're going to jump right on then if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. He can't get in. I'm blocking him. Look, I have no control of nothing. I'm blocking him.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Come on, I'm telling them to come on in. Come on in.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Stay on out, Arthur. Stay on out.
So he can, yeah. So he can stir up trouble. You know he gonna stir up trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. He gonna say something. We gotta go to commercial break. He probably took loop 12 to get there. That's what took him so long. He's on the wrong loop.
On the wrong loop. Oh, goodness.
He's on loop 12.
Exactly.
He's out there. Yeah, he's out there fussing.
Mr. Arthur, are you there, Mr. Arthur? Guess he's
not
there yet.
He's blocked. I'm blocking him.
You blocked that.
I'm blocking him.
Well, let's see. Let's jump over here to, well, I guess we were kind of finished. We wanted to hear what Ms. Arthur has to say about the president dying in the crash.
Yeah, we'll go back into it and visit it if he has some topics.
Yeah. Right.
So the crash looks like it was north of Iran.
Okay. Because it did say where he was coming from. Let me see.
Like a crash, north of Iran, in Barzagan County. Barzagan County is where it crashed.
Okay.
Ooh, and if there was a bloody, wow.
I know that. And I think, how many people did they say? It was quite a good number of people that were.
Let's see. I don't see it.
Hello, Mr. Arthur.
Number of people.
Hey, how doing?
We're good.
Oh, there
how about you?
you
ain't gonna let Mr. Pastor Cooper stay on with me very long, right, Mr. Arthur?
Well, I'll try to let him enjoy himself. Unless he's looking up some face.
I was having a blast.
we were trying to help the married to be married people out, telling them that they need to go through counseling since we're coming up on the wedding season. But we were talking about the Iranian president that was killed in the crash. Mm.
Yeah. Well, that's foul flying in the fog.
Yeah,
you know,
bad weather.
Yeah, you know, that was having COVID. You know, COVID was flying in the fog.
That's just what we said. We thought immediately thought about Kobe when that happened, Mr. Arthur. It just brought that.
You
speak
up to married. Are you talking to married folks about what's wife going to get married? She's going to go counsel.
Yeah, how important that is for them to have premarital counseling so that they can get to know each other better.
Tell them, tell them, add this on their question. Tell them to ask each other, look each other in the eye and say, do I want you on my do not resuscitate orders?
Oh, you're so bad. See, you weren't even here 5 minutes. We already have to go to commercial break. You're going
to
get on here and
already
say something. We already going to commercial break. Already. You're going to be benched. Are you on my resuscitate list?
Oh, my goodness.
My Lord.
And just as a family, I've been in that situation where we have to, you know, go through that, you know, whole thing, and you know, it was like, you know, do it, don't. Not, like I think I told you about the before. I won the argument where we kept him alive, but I told him he needed time to repent, and so about 4 months later, you know, because he had been a drug thing, 4 months later.
Yeah.
He looked just like he did back when he was about 30-something. It was a trip, you know. So I'm just saying that. That's a big thing, you know. When Somebody get married, right? Somebody get married, and then both of y'all got good jobs. You know, y'all get $1 million insurance policy on each other.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you got to figure out, you know, hopefully you're going to be looking cross-eyed at me one day.
Yeah.
As long as we got the right beneficiaries on the policy, it's all right. It's all good.
But that is a good question. That is something to have a discussion about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of those things need to be talked about. I mean, people may not think about that particular subject at the onset, you know, but certainly down the line,
you know, some people love money, and I'm just saying,
I'm just saying. Well, you know, it's amazing. She's talking about marriage. There's another. This is May, month of May. It's also Mental Health Month, and so we need to also have those discussions because
right.
Sometimes it runs in the family. You know, the mental health
that's
issues
right.
in the family. And there are
patterns. I'm gonna call him the brother's name, but one of my relatives told me that's why she went on ahead and divorced her husband, because after married to him, they got into the family. She realized that when they turn around 65, all of them start getting dementia.
Alzheimer's. Onset of dementia.
Yeah. She said, I'm just saying, you know, family history as far as, you know, what kind of, you know.
Very
right,
much.
Absolutely.
No.
Well,
I mean,
that's what we talked about earlier. You need to get to know that family, right? Didn't we say that, Pastor Cooper?
No, that's
you
family.
Need to
yes.
get to know the family just like you're getting to know the person you're marrying.
You're behind
well,
the family, red flag.
This is what I say. To look at how the man treats his mother. If he treats his mother royally, he's going to treat you royally.
There you go.
That's really, really important. Just so those family dynamics are very, very important.
You also better see how if the father is in place, see how the father's treating the mother.
That's right.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
You know, so,
We watched this show, Love is Blind. My wife and my daughters watched that. I don't know if y'all have seen it.
Right.
And there's a lady on there called A.D. and Clay. He said no at the altar when she was in a white dress looking fabulous. She said no.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because I cannot hold up to the commitment of these vows that we're having with one another. And so everyone's asking the question, why did he not do this? Well, he found out things about his father he didn't know, about his mother he didn't know, when he came down to having these heart-to-heart conversations. And they had counselors on there, and some things came crept up. And he said, I am my father's son, which means that he said, I'm going to cheat on you. I'm going to mess around. I'm going to do these things.
Oh,
he said, that's what's in my heart.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he said it. And so he said, I'm not going to be a great husband for you. I love you too much for that. So then the mother and father, they had divorced. And on the show, they showed the most powerful scene I've seen on reality TV since I've been watching it now for the past 15 years or so. And it was about a seven-minute segment. And it was the mother that said, you owe your son an apology, because he would bring his son around his girlfriends, his drug habits, his abuse, and all of those things. And he said, you never repented. You never told him you were wrong for what you did. He said, you told me, but you never told him.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to continue to be a good father. And he said, well, I'm sorry. He said, listen, this is not about me. This is about you and your son. And you need to be a good man and admit. That's what Brother Arthur was saying. Admit you're wrong, ask for forgiveness in order for him to forgive himself and move forward. Most powerful scene ever on television.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we know that another one of our restaurants hit the dust, right? Red Lobster.
What?
And then
our first date.
And then they filed bankruptcy today. And I don't remember what state they filed in. But here's the thing. Some people just went overboard. I mean, I know they have this all-you-can-eat shrimp thing. So this one guy was saying that they ate 108 shrimp. He ate. Just this one guy. And then packed up the rest of them and carried home with it. I mean, why you want to do that kind of stuff?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? There's a limit to everything.
You know what? Now it's like I feel sorry for Red Lobster, but they've been floundering for a long time. Get it? Floundering?
Yeah.
Flounder? Anyway.
I get you.
Anyway, they've been doing that for a while. And so, like, say, and you know, if you don't, back for all these other places, Papa Doe's and all them folks showed up. Red Lobster was, you know, they was it. But, you got to be responsible for if you're not improving your sites. You're still using the same sites you've been having for the last 30 years, 35 years. You ain't still the same place. You got to do something.
You mean fix up the place where it looks?
I mean, the Red Lobster, I ain't seen a new Red Lobster since they started. Have you?
No, and they don't really have to have a new one. They just redo the building up inside. I mean, just make it, change decor.
Yeah, redo the, bring some different atmosphere. Redo the mix they got. But like I say, they just floundered on out of business is all I'm saying. I didn't see them.
Red Lobster. Red Lobster, they say it hits differently for the black community because it's in 1968. Who is this guy's owner right here? I don't know if y'all saw that or not. It said in Florida, 1968, just a few weeks before Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, as he had done at the first restaurants he had opened during the height of the Jim Crow racial segregation in Georgia. Darden insisted that Red Lobster be fully integrated. Customers would enter and exit the same door, sit wherever they chose to sit, and receive the same food and the same service. So this guy was trailblazer, huh?
When we had the state conference, NAACP state conference in Beaumont, in your hometown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Alcorn president of Dallas. It was in the 90s. Cause y'all just got the Red Lobster, and they was being of course racist, right? That Red Lobster started off being racist, right? And then the Alcorn went over and, made a big brouhaha, then they gave out a bunch of free
free.
I guess they got
some of the cheese.
Of a Tahiti cheese monster, business. Whatever that was. Yeah. So anyway, so I'm just saying that Red Lobster started off racist is my point.
Right.
And so... I would say that they didn't, they never, improved their clientele mix. I don't think, black folks, there wasn't a bunch of black folks saying, let's go to Red Lobster. I mean, I just go to Red Lobster myself from time to time. But it wasn't like, hey, let's go to Red Lobster. It wasn't ever that. So I'm just saying.
We used to go to Red Lobster all the time when we first moved back down to, when we first moved to Texas and lived in Tyler. Because their seafood is very good, tasty. Mm-hmm. They were noted for their shrimp and pasta dishes and the shrimp and the seafood was they had pretty good.
Usually when companies go out of business like that because they're a chain. When they go out of business, it's because that initial energy and all that, newness and hands-on stuff they have, after that, after some point, they become just a, just a money-making operation. So you're not going to find places like that got no loyal staff or nothing like that. It's always going to be transitional staff, right? So
if you're a phrase in business that says, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. You're not remaining the same. You have to continue to strive to get better.
And I would say this, Ed, here. And I would say the same process is going on in our schools, where the residual memory and these long-term teachers that we normally had, these master teachers that we were learning from, they ain't got that kind of depth no more. The depth ain't there. And I'm saying that same thing happened with Red Lobster. They didn't have no customer service depth. They didn't have no bodies or nobody that worked there. That was familiar in the community, anything like that. So they just turned to different money operations.
They were in business
CEO.
In 1968.
Mm-hmm.
They were in business a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, they made a lot of money.
Clarence Otis Jr. was the first African-American CEO of that Fortune 500 company in 2004. And he said that Red Lobster and Olive Garden were staples in the black communities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Ours is not in the black community. Ours is on the South Loop.
Yeah, ours is in the black community.
Was it really?
I didn't realize that
they were on Olive Garden was part of them.
Well, he said that. Oh, I don't know if it's Olive Garden or part of it. He just said that.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
So it says Darden SWLLC, a Florida limited liability company, the sole member of which is GMRI Inc., doing business as Red Lobster and Olive Garden, Florida.
Oh, there you go.
A Florida corporation and directly wholly owned subsidiary of GMRI Inc., doing business as Red Lobster, Olive Garden, Banana Breeze, and Season 50. I'm not familiar with Season 52.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that one?
No.
Huh?
I've not heard that one.
I know Banana Breeze and Olive Garden. We have an Olive Garden.
Now, Olive Garden, here, check this out. Okay, Olive Garden, like in Dallas, they're right next to each other. With Red Lobster and Olive Garden. Now,
yeah, there you go.
Olive Garden got more of a following with senior people.
Okay.
You know, they got this kind of community relationship up here. Senior, you know, because they're, you know, a lot of senior people. And so I'm just saying that they're right next to each other. But Red Lobster don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
The same people. I own both of them. But I say, you know, they're in a money-making operation. You know, who knows? You know, maybe somebody different was over that one, and was over that one.
Well, you know, a lot of these chains and people restaurants went out of business during COVID.
Right.
Started to downgrade after COVID, because that's what it's saying about, I'm reading right now, it's talking about that they didn't, not bounce back very well after COVID.
I don't know. I may have put them out of business on Veteran Day, huh? You know, where we go and get free food.
That's what she was saying. This one guy was getting 100 shrimp.
One guy said he got 108 shrimp was brought to his table. I don't care what kind of service that they have. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just pure greed and doesn't make any sense.
Do you know that person? Wait a minute. Hold up. Do you know this guy? Just some obligatory blogger. I mean, is this an actual person? 100 and something?
Yeah.
Shrimp?
No, I saw it on the news.
Huh?
I saw it on the news.
Oh. Well, hey.
He was holding up his bag going out the doorway.
Yeah, but look, though. They let him do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
here?
Because it's not.
Yeah, you have. But
Mr. Arthur, if you advertising that you could eat unlimited shrimp at Red Lobster, then how are you going to stop it? You already advertised it.
I say you have unlimited for the first 20 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They should have put some kind of gauge on that.
That's them, not him. That's them.
I didn't say that was him. I did not say that was him. That's why I said that if they said you could eat unlimited shrimp, then that's what he got.
They said maybe he got a family at the house, you know, but they weren't told me to do it.
I'm making concessions for that person that carried out 108 shrimp out of that place.
I own
a restaurant, and I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that, period. You wouldn't do nothing like that. But what I'm saying is that they the one dummies that made it like that.
They should have gained.
You know, people gonna be people. Come on now.
Well, they're just like the buffets. I don't know how they make a living. Just continue to put food out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've learned to go up high on. If you go to what's that place? Not what is it?
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. That's it. You may pay $20 20 bucks per person for your all you can eat buffet now. $22, something like that. It's not the small price.
And most most buffets have no carry out. You can't take none. You can't take none now.
You can carry out, but by the time you weigh that food to carry it out, you have spent a fortune. That's why people sit down in there to eat, but that's why they also went up on the prices, because that Golden Corral here in Tyler, the weight is amazing what they charge for just a very small amount to weigh in. But they do weigh it. If you want to carry out, you got to bring it to that scale and get it weighed and then check out.
So how much can I carry out?
Go ahead.
You say I could weigh it, but how much can I carry out? 2 pounds or 1 pound?
Yeah, whatever. However, you can get as much as you want, but you're going to pay royally when you weigh that food.
Make you pay for it for your takeout.
See, once you... They give you your container, and then you come back and then you weigh it, and then that's when you pay.
Okay.
Yep. That's for the kit.
So I eat and then I get my container and then I pay.
No, you don't eat. They give you a container when you walk through that line. And you say you want to carry out. And so they'll give you the carry out because you know that it's right there. They can see you. And then you have to come back. And then they put it on the scale, put your container on the scale, and weigh that. And then that's when you pay.
Okay. Well,
my thing is, sometimes the people don't control their children and the children are paying. I don't want it. Myself, I don't. You know, kids are playing around with the food.
I can't do it.
Children need to be controlled by their parents.
So I guess we won't be having a Taste of Delight buffet, huh?
Yeah, no. I'm a little germaphobe.
Here's the deal, Mr. Arthur. You can have a Taste of North Delight. You just won't be able to serve it yourself. The staff will be serving it for you.
Amen.
Yeah. You know how it goes. You've been there.
Behind a glass.
Behind that glass, that's right. Because I want to make sure that food, you got food handlers, that you wash your hands, you put on your gloves, and you've done all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll serve and hand it over to you because, trust me, we're going to be washing our hands and we're going to be using gloves and we're going to make sure that we're doing all the safety to make sure that you're well cared for. Yes, sir. So this says in the summer of... Go ahead. I'm sorry. But Ms. Arthur?
Has our Nigerian cook made that?
The brother, Emmanuel, is over in the country now. He's over there now. Working on getting his sister to America. He's got probably about another three. You know, once they go home, they stay for a minute. So I think he's got about another 3 weeks or so being over there before he's coming back. He's already been over there 3 weeks right now, I believe.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to something.
Say again. I'm sorry?
So I'm looking forward to Nigeria or something.
Yeah. Yep. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we did the paperwork. I wrote a letter saying that she could have a job when she got here and all the particulars that you have to do in order to get them here. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he would be the sponsor to sponsor her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what else is going on? What's going on in Dallas, Texas, Mr. Arthur?
Well, You got any runoff elections? You remember Lupe Valdez ran for governor?
I do very well.
Yeah, Dallas County Sheriff.
So she won her old job back, so now she's running against Miss Brown Sherrod Brown here in Dallas. Was, you know, so you got black lady against Hispanic lady.
That's a black, the black female.
Uh-huh, yeah. And so,
she's running, so Lupe is running against her now?
Well, they're in a runoff.
They're in the runoff. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh, yeah, so I'm going to vote tomorrow.
That's what I was asking.
I got a yard sign in my yard, you know, and so it's really right now. That's what
didn't Lupe allow ICE to come into her prisons and arrest people?
Huh? What?
I was just asking you a question. Didn't Lupe allow ICE to go into her prisons and arrest people and deport them?
Yeah, I think she was playing pussy with all. I think she was kind of, you know, I think she did a little bit. And plus, look, I mean, you know, she. The big thing with her was she was a lesbian police chief, the only one. And first one
well,
in Texas.
I think society's got beyond that. That's not even a topic of discussion.
No, I'm saying what her claim to fame was, how she came to power.
Oh, that's a claim to fame now. But just like it was a negative years ago, and it'd be a claim to fame, I thought those conversations
were
now.
What I would stop there if you hadn't interrupted me.
Well, that's what
her,
we do.
She asked what's going on in Dallas. So I'm going to tell you. Okay, her Dallas history is. Because I'm trying to tell you about this.
Okay, go ahead. But you didn't start off saying
she ran against. Can I finish? She ran against this redneck, and so
of
course,
you can't
say
those phrases.
I mean, she ran against no good joker, and so you know, everybody galvanized behind, you know, black and brown, and so we brought her to power, and so she, you know, and of course the jail had some problems, you know, when she was there, you know, as well, you know, people dying, and, you know, getting killed or whatever, and it was, but it wasn't all her fault because it's based about the budget and all the tax stuff. So all in all, she did a decent job, all in all, right? She's working with commissioners and all that kind of stuff. So she did a decent job all in all. And so that's why, you know, she was so popular at the time that she ran for governor. So
right. After
she ran for governor, of course, you all know, she didn't win. And so now she's back. She wants her sheriff job back. So Sheriff Brown, she's been there. Whatever since she left, and she did a great.
Marion Brown.
She did a very good job. Yeah. So she's done a very good job also. So basically, you know, it's like, you know, do you want Lupe back or not? So
let me ask you this,
Sheriff Brown.
So in that runoff, who got the most? Who got the highest scores? Number of votes in that runoff? Which one of the two?
Well, Sheriff Brown got the most votes, but, you know, again, I've looked at the exact numbers, but she got the most votes, you know, but again, like I say, but it's a runoff, so anytime you're in a runoff, you know what that
is.
Oh,
I understand.
So.
You know, we understand all that. I'm just wondering who got the most votes out of the two.
During the regular election. Yeah, that's really the biggest thing that's probably going on up here right now.
I didn't realize that was happening. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So basically, but I'm going to Sheriff Brown myself. So anybody out there?
You want to keep her around? Marion Brown, you want to keep her?
Anybody that haven't voted yet, please go vote for Sheriff Brown. I got her. Matter of fact, that's Sean Rapp. Hey, Mike, that's Sean Rapp's wife. You know that, don't you?
Oh, really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that either. The newscaster?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Did not.
Well, you know,
keeping secrets.
Dr. Cooper say, we are the news.
We are the news, baby.
Yeah, that's outstanding. I did not know. I just knew that she was your sheriff, you know, but I didn't, and her last name was Brent. I didn't know that was his wife, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met with him a couple weeks ago, where you had a chance to hang out with him. So, yeah.
Do they have children? Do they have children?
You know what? I'm not, you know, he's Reverend Ray. You know what? I went to church one time. But I read out, you know what, No, not, you know what, I ain't going to say no, because I'm going to say I don't know. You know, public people, they tend to, you know, public people, they tend to keep their, they don't be trying their kids off.
Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't say they don't.
Okay.
I don't say I don't know.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you got any graduates in the family, Ms. Arthur? We were saluting we talked about at the onset also doing the commentary, all of our young folk and the great work that they are doing in their graduations from their colleges and high schools. And we celebrated our grandson this past weekend with all the hoopla and everything. It was beautiful. And then, of course, he marches this Wednesday. And then all of the other young folk and all of the scholarships and just making us proud to see. And then, of course, Miss Rihanna's baby, Kate's, having her senior awards program tonight.
Wow.
She's graduating. Very, very smart young lady. So our kids are just doing amazing. And let me tell you, these kids are getting in college and getting out of there fast and steady. And then I mentioned the young man, the young black fella, who's the first college graduate of his family, got the joint commissions award for medicine. He's going to be going to medical school. They're from TC, Texas Christian University. They're in Fort Worth. And he's going to be going
school,
to medical school. Isn't that wonderful? Going to be going to school right there, Southwest Medical School there in the area. And he's the first to get that award, that special award. So I'm just so proud to see the great work that these young folk are doing. They're not they're graduating summa laude and magna cum laude and cum laude. And of course, I mentioned that some of them are graduating. Thank you, Lordy. But all of them.
Amen.
Thank you, Lordy. Thank you, Lordy.
As long as they ain't graduate, oh, Lordy. Hey, look here.
Oh, Lordy.
You know, this weekend, Joe Biden spoke at Mo House, and he didn't get booed. And I saw with one of the students, I think some Morehouse, I'm not sure, but he said you know, this first class to graduate, where it was like, you know, like for about a year, you had to identify your fellow students by the eyes, by the hair, and say, you know, because you couldn't see their face during COVID.
They have masks on.
It's the first COVID graduation class. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Close COVID.
Yeah, that's right. It was a great speech. I listened to it as well. So, yep, they're doing great stuff. They're doing great stuff. Mm-hmm. Listen, we get so many invitations. I told the people early on the show that if you can give them $1 each. But I got somebody that I got to give a lot more to this year, and that's my own graduate, right?
Right.
Yep. But we have something at our church called $1 One Day. So the day of their celebration, where they have their tables displayed and have all of their pictures and all their awards and everything on their table, and we have a big dinner for them. We have it on a Sunday evening after church. And so that we say at least each church member give them $1, they'll have $500 if each church member would give them $1.
That's good. That's good.
And you see what I'm saying? And so, and then there's no strain on anybody. You know what I'm saying? So, So just give them. So if you got, and I can't remember how many we had this time. I think we only have about like four high school seniors. We got some college ones and everything. So
that's a great point. Yeah. I love that. You know, yes, church, it doesn't put a strain on the church budget, doesn't put a strain on individual budgets. Because you'd be surprised how many people after the 25th, 26th of the month are living, waiting for the next paycheck. And one flat tire away from, you know, eating ramen noodles until, you know, for 4 or 5 days. So $25 times 5 to 10, 15 graduates, that's $250, you know, $400, you know, in 1 month. That's a lot of money for a household. I love it. I love that.
It's amazing. And the children make out like a bandit.
That's great, and then
we do what we put a box in the foyer, because we got new mothers that are having their children, and so I mean we have it all laid out where it's not a hardship on you, and then all these young couples and then these kiddos, they come away with a pocket full of cash.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. You know, we do a similar thing. You know, matter of fact, y'all, we're so busy. Celebrated 19 years of pastoring Sunday.
That you did.
19, yes.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
My husband retired after that. That's how many years
he
preached before he retired. That's how many years he preached for. Because he started a lot later because his career was in education and
education. That's right. He's
and then, yes, and then yeah. right, and then he decided that he wanted to go into the ministry, and so then he went back to school and got his degree in theology and started preaching.
Yep. Well, there you go. Man,
so
I love education.
He's our Sunday school teacher. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great teacher.
He's the adult
that's
Sunday
great.
School teacher.
That's a great teacher. I have a guy that teaches and went to seminary at my 10 o'clock service at Sunday school. And my goodness, he's a teaching machine. I love it when you have great teachers, educators.
Well, me too. I tell you, my husband's a brilliant theologian, and he's a brilliant biblical teacher. So I learned. I have to study so I can make sure that I don't embarrass him in class.
I love it. Bring it up to another level. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Just in case he calls on me, right?
Well, that's what you learn. People understand. 11 o'clock service, that's celebration. But, man, Sunday school, sometimes those classes are an hour.
That's
when you learn. An hour. Because most pastors preach 20 minutes or less now.
Y'all don't do YPWW and BYPU no more.
No, everybody's getting away from that. Matter of fact, now it's getting to the point where they're cutting out announcements, and then the pastors sometimes do the announcements. But they used to have announcement clerks and this and that. But anyway, I brought all that up to say this, because Dr. McKellar was saying something earlier about the dollar. You know, we try not to put a burden on our church, because like I said, we're a church plant. So we start off smaller. We're just four of us when we got started 19 years ago, and God has blessed us. Even through COVID, paid off our facility. Yeah. But every now and then, we would take up an offering, and I tell people, don't give anybody your last, but give them a seed. And you'll never know that your seed met someone's need, because we don't know what a seed is. My seed may be more than your seed. You know, plant the seed. And every time there's an emergency, maybe 4 or 5 times in 19 years, I had one lady tell me, she said, "Pastor, you got to stop giving away our money." I said, "Baby, you didn't notice what I said." I said, "If you don't have a seed, don't plant it." I said, "I'm asking people to help this family with their need with your seed." And every time I would do that, we met and exceeded the need with the seed. Incredible. I love that $1. I love it.
Right. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Yeah.
And beautiful. Well, did you guys hear the confession from P. Diddy?
I didn't hear the confession. I saw the video.
You saw the video? Okay. Yeah, he was
the
on.
The video where he beat Cassie?
He was actually on. Well, I understand that he paid the young lady off
number one. And then he apologized after he looked at the video and saw, he apologized for that. He said, talked about how badly he felt for doing such as that. And then they said, of course, that that was him paying off was not an indication that that he did anything wrong. You know, the lawyers are always, attorneys are going to always say that. So,
you,
but yeah.
You remember back during the 20, you remember doing back 2019, 2020, mm-hmm. actually when the Republican Party pulled him and a bunch of them rappers out and had them out, had the people trying to vote and all that stuff. See, people like him, people like him, I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, but I mean, so he played the song of Usher, Confession, or he just talked?
He just made those comments that I just said that after looking at the after
what he did,
he looked at that video of what he did. Yes, that
he never said he never apologized to the young lady. He never said nothing about her. He was apologizing. It was all about him, about how he felt, how he, you know what I mean? So I don't know if that was an apology or not.
Well, I don't know if I don't know. I wasn't with them, so I don't know if he, I know that they,
no,
he paid her off.
Nobody's apology on camera. You know, he didn't apologize to her. So
I don't know that. See, that's what I'm saying, that they had obviously had some communication because he paid her money off. He paid off to her. So there was some communication with attorneys, attorney to attorney, and I'm sure that they did not meet up with I don't know that. I just know that the case has been settled. So the case was settled. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know what he said to her. We just know what he said to the community, and he said that to the community because the community saw that video.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You remember Ray Rice? He beat up his girlfriend. He been a running back for Baltimore. Remember him? And his career was over.
I remember.
Yeah, his career was over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they
gonna learn,
it's sad.
Learn to keep their hands.
He needs counseling.
That's exactly what
he did. Mental. Yeah, that's mental illness.
That's
he needs counseling.
See, what I said a few minutes ago about you better learn about the person, learn about that family, learn about all involved, because something happened in that childhood to cause young men to want to beat up on a woman. They saw that somewhere. Yeah. They saw somebody doing
that.
Could have been their father.
But not only
their
beat
mother.
Up. Yeah, not only beat up, he kicked her while she was down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Crazy. They've seen that.
Mm-hmm. What might that do to you? Will we? Make you want to kick people.
Yeah. Keep your hands, your feet. What was one of the first things that your parents said to you? Don't hit your brother. Don't hit your sister. And then when you went to early childhood education school, don't hit your friends. Be kind to your friends. Hug your
friends. Keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your hands to yourself. That's right. That's that early teaching. And if you didn't get it, then you may end up being a violent person like that. If you saw that in your life, if you saw your father hit your mother, instead of hug your mother, go ahead.
You know, folks don't remember this. Like I tell you about when I got to hang out with Ron D. I seen another time when the sister wants to kill a rap. Anyway, like what happened was, again, a bunch of these different folks, so I'll just leave it at that, took over that system and took over and started using people like P. Diddy and other people like him to produce music to make us hate ourselves. And like I said, he's been a part of all that. And so that's why I still got no respect for him. But like I said, I've seen the damage he's done, right, you know, and the stuff that he's done, you know.
He's still young, and he's got a lot of living to do.
That's
he needs
right.
Help.
And guess what? We're not a judge or a jury.
Mm-hmm,
I'm not
trying
to judge Tim. We're all fallible creatures subject to mistake and error. None of us on this phone have ever done, and we may not have done that, but we did.
I ain't trying to hear no.
We've done something in our lives that God was not pleased with. So therefore, I agree when you need this person needs help, and so we need to try to make sure that people get the proper help that they need because they act out for a reason. They don't just they don't just learn behaviors on their own. They saw somebody. It was a learned behavior that they saw.
About three days or so ago, they said that pastor passed out, Jake passed out, arguing with somebody over at his program, over at his church, something. It was arguing something. Passed out. Yeah, so he had to come in. I mean, of course, he's okay now, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
Hey, did he?
All right, Brother Austin. Now, hold on a second. Let me stop you here for a second. You brought up T.D. Jakes while we were talking about Diddy, and it had nothing to do with the conversation. You just throwing something together that you just what is that about? What was that? Talking about Diddy beating up people, now you're talking about Jakes passing out.
Come on. Let me say something that had something to do with it. We was talking about Diddy, and here's let me finish. We was talking about Diddy.
Spit it out.
Can I finish? We was talking about Diddy and his apology.
Right.
And then I brought about Diddy and his politics, and what I'm intimating is that this guy done ruined a whole bunch of people's lives, not just his. That's all I'm saying.
So T.D. Jakes ruined a lot of people's lives. What are you talking about?
Why are we talking about Diddy?
And now he's trying to infer that P. Diddy has ruined T.D. Jakes' reputation because they threw him in there at a party.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you this. You can't ruin my reputation. Only I can ruin my reputation.
Right.
So, therefore, P. Diddy cannot ruin T.D. Jakes' reputation.
I said
only
a lot.
Only T.D. Jakes can do that. Only T.D. Jakes can do
that. Well, I said a lot of people, and I'm just going by some of the research I did. That's the one y'all hear about on the news, but. I'm telling you, the brother did some ooh-wee. That's all I got to say.
Well, okay, but again, though, watch this. We have no proof of whatever the accusations were. And my statement is in fun but also serious, is that when we mention someone's name, the media has done their job. When we mention the other person's name that's associated with what the media is telling us, and we have nothing to confirm it. So at that point, the media and the world is winning. And so I'm poking fun with you, but I really don't like it when we're talking about one subject and then someone else, because of what the media is throwing out there, proof or no proof, real or not real, we are then now stamping that in our memory, our memory banks. Now we're associating them with him.
That we're putting that information out there because
we don't know what goes on. Actually, I think having a conversation about Diddy is, for this program is, let me just say, we don't do it a lot.
Right, no, we don't, and this is our first time ever talking about it, and that's fine. He's in the news
right now,
so that's what we do. We talk about the news.
Exactly,
so,
and that's what we're telling the news that he was.
Today. Right, we're telling the news. But I'm saying let's not be Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, and as soon as you hear about Biden, you hear about Trump. You hear about Trump, you hear about Biden. After you hear about so-and-so, you hear, and the world has started comparing the things and the stuff. So. That Jakes wasn't in the news today. Jakes wasn't on video beating his wife or Diddy's wife. So I'm saying let's not bring up Jakes at this junction. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know what? Well, what I'm saying is that I didn't bring up the Diddy conversation in the first place. Actually, I could.
We're talking about Diddy. We're talking about
Diddy.
I'm not talking about Jakes. The world wants us to bring them together and condemn and judge for something that is not proof.
Like I said, I know we had a gate somewhere. I guess we do around that conversation.
Well, since we're talking about sensitive subjects and things like that, let's go ahead and throw another one out there. our friend Jasmine Crockett that we all been around and hung out. There are some statements said after that. I play basketball, and the person that hits you first, the referee doesn't see it. But when we were trained, as our coach said, don't hit back, because if you hit back, you're going to get caught, and don't do it. And you're going to get the technical foul. You're going to get thrown out the game. Let's talk about that kind of stuff. Let's talk about what Michelle Obama said. When they go low, we go high. But there's some statements being made now that I don't agree with because, just because somebody said, well, they're in the basement. I'm just trying to go get out of hell now. But even though it's fun.
I'm in the Roland Martin school on that one. When they go low, I'm going to go for your ankles.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I brought it up, because I can tell the tone of the conversation. And so I'm just going to put it on out there because this is relevant and it's in time. So we're handling news. And I'm going to go totally opposite again. I'm going to go Michelle Obama.
She's my congressman.
That we're supposed to go, huh?
She's my congressman, and I love it. She's congressman.
I know you do. I know you do, and others do too. But that's not who we are. And then because they were able to use that old adage, oh, calm down, calm down, calm down. We have to be cool, calm, collected, and still.
Who cares about what they're using? They have no power here. They have no power here. Who cares about what
they're
using?
I get it, but what have we accomplished over there? What have we accomplished?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we're going to accomplish. We'll see. Let's see what
we're going to accomplish. Yeah, absolutely. But I just think, anyway.
They have no power.
This is what I say to my husband. I say this to people that I've had the opportunity to counsel with. It takes two to fight, and
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Who's going to be the adult in the room? And
who's
going to
turn out the cheek?
Who's going to be? Yeah, right. I mean, who's going to walk away and say, you know what, that's not even worth it? I know it got really heated in the committee meeting, and I get that. And we're all, once again, we're all fallible creatures. We make mistakes.
Right.
We make errors.
And we want to have fun and do it.
And all that. And it's human nature to fight back when somebody puts you out there like that. And it's human nature to fight back. And so I understand that. I get it. But now it's way. Let me tell you what, it's way out of hand now. It's out of the committee room because they have to remember that we're all out here watching, and nothing is secret in there because it's public. It's on C-SPAN. It's on everywhere. It's public knowledge.
Right.
But then now that you're out of the committee room, and now you're into the world, into the streets, and there's all kind of, they're selling Barbie dolls with this woman looking like Neanderthal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really going way out there, way crazy. So we're talking about people that we elected and we sent to Washington, D.C. to represent this country.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stay on track and get the business of the country taken care of because they're being decided. And I understand that. I understand where Jasmine was. I really do. As a black woman,
I get it.
I get it. Me too. And this girl is way. We already know she's way out of order. Way out of order.
Right.
And so I'm not gonna waste my time with somebody that I know is ignorant and out of order. And
she's been waiting for that. She's been waiting because it gives her clout in the community and gives her clout on the news.
Yeah.
Now she's back in the news again. She was dying down. Don't give her the energy. Don't feed the beast. And that's what happened. Because she even said in the conversation, oh, you want a debate? You want a debate? Because she wants more media attention. She's hungry
exactly
for
it.
You confirmed it. I can't tell you how many times
other
radio shows.
We support our congressman. That's all I'm
saying. I support your congressman.
I support it too.
But I don't always come in agreement with our reactions. And watch this. I have been in the business world dealing with folks like that for 40 years, okay, since I was a teenager. I just told my story earlier. Yeah, at least 40 years. So I've been videoed. you know, and people reviewed it and say, well, I see no error. We have to continue. The least of them is the greatest. The one that turned the cheek, the one that, you know, we have to continue to be that servant attitude. We have to continue to humble ourselves. God said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. But when we take vengeance, and I know that our sister Jasmine is equipped to defend herself, but sometimes we don't need to defend stupidity. We don't need to fight every fight. We don't need to do that.
When you got a committee chair, when you got a committee chairman, when you got a committee chairman that was fixing to let that slide, he was going to let it slide.
And
it
used to.
Hold up. By committee rules, by committee rules, what should have happened was she should have been. They should have struck that.
She should have been expelled.
She would have had to been expelled. Now,
the word should have been strike,
chair,
she should have been expelled.
Let me finish. When a committee chair didn't do his job, then that's when the rest of it. And I'm saying we support our congressman.
I know you do.
And
I get it.
Can I say that one more time? We support her, too. And let me just tell you this. I say this all the time. I'm married. I don't agree with everything that my husband does and or says, but I support him 100%. So therefore, just because we hate that it had to get to that level does not mean that we don't support Attorney Jasmine Crawford. She's a
bad
sister.
I say I support her.
I know you support her,
we support her too.
We support her, absolutely.
It's
an echo of support. But it's an opportunity because this is present in the news. It's just biggest ditty. It's all over the world. We get it. We get it. And we know how our sister's equipped. That's why we love her for who she is. But at the same time, we have to be careful, and we always have to be careful in how we fight. Listen, when I walk in a room at 6'6" and the cowboy hat and boots on, I'm 7 feet tall. I have to select my words carefully. I have to be professional at all costs. And trust me, I have not always been invited to the table. But I know when I'm at the table, and we're at the table, I've been at the tables. Matter of fact, Dr. Keller's been at the tables with me. I had to be angry, mad, upset, and had to swallow pride, ego, and words with folks and not go after them in time and know that I can handle myself, know that I can take care of it. But we have to sometimes swallow our pride to get a little bit higher. That's all I'm saying. And what I'm saying in public, I say in private. And when I see her, I'm going to hug her neck, and I'm going to whisper in her ear. And she knows it. We know each other. So that's what we do. And we are to help one another. Because watch this. God, her career is just not started. So this is practice to learn how to control and handle yourself in extreme battle when it gets
She's got lots and lots of publicity, and she's been on shows. I saw her on one this morning, I haven't seen that other. I haven't seen Green on anything,
right?
Because they know she started the mess, and they know that she's always starting mess.
You'd be out of cheeks with Marjorie Green. You won't have a cheek left.
I hear you. Excuse me, but at the same time, though, we've all been in those rooms. We've been in those situations, and we have to continue to be steadfast, unmovable. You know,
always abound, right?
Amen. And I'm trying not to preach, but you just have to. You know, I mean, and I get it, Brother Arthur. Listen, she turned over her changers table. That's what Jesus did. He said, "You made my house a prayer, being a thief." And she had a Peter moment. I get it. But it doesn't stop me from continuing to challenge the for us all to do the right thing. And I love what Dr. McKellar said so eloquently about her husband's thing. Now, listen, there are some things he said I don't agree with, but I support you.
That's 100%.
And I'm going to support.
I'm glad you mentioned Jesus, Pastor, because look at it this way. Jasmine turned over Mark Taylor Green table.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all get fed up. We all get aggravated. I'm just saying we can't make it a habit. We can't practice the habit. We go back and say, you know what, that was a moment that brought me to a level that I don't desire to maintain. But I hadn't heard that tone anywhere, and I've seen some of those statements again afterwards. You know, so that's all I'm saying.
Who would she be offering? Who would she be offering that tone to? Who should be offering that tone to? Who would Jasmine Crockett be offering that tone you haven't heard? Who should be offering it to?
I'm talking about with interviews. There have been interviews afterwards, like Dr. Martellus there. There are interviews afterwards, and the interviews are in line and consistent with the statement that was made at the time of anger and pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's maintained. Mm-hmm. And my point is that after you go back and review, every time I preach, I go back and review my sermon mentally and spiritually. And so when I have interactions, even on the show, I stay up another hour after our show and say, okay, we said this, we said that, how we handled it, and we try to make sure we cover all sides of the fence, you know, because one thought is someone else's, another thought is someone else, and then we come back and say, well, have you considered this? We say, have you considered that? And that's the reason why sometimes, Brother Arthur, I say, well, have you considered
I'm going to say this in closing. Sherman Comer, over that committee, lost control of his committee.
And he just was he couldn't hear.
He was not,
I agree with
not
that, but he said he couldn't hear.
Rules. So he created the environment for what you're talking about. So all I'm saying
that's correct.
And so all I'm saying is that I think again I think Ms. Green would think twice before she decided to intimate.
No, she's going
to
engage even more. No, she ain't going to think twice. She's going to engage even more because
we've
been brought down to her level.
I don't think I'm going to get it.
She's going to engage even more. She's going to engage even more.
I think we're
here
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Baptist, Mr. Arthur. This has been acting out ever since she's been in D.C.
So what do you
think that black lady is going to make her change?
Well, let's see.
She grabbed more headlines.
All I'm saying is, I'm going to wait and see.
You don't have to wait and see. I'm not waiting
I'm going to wait and see. Yeah, I know I don't have to, but I'm going to.
The thing about that lady is she is not important enough for me to spend any time wondering what she's going to do next, because I've seen enough of what she's done since she's been in D.C.
Exactly. She has
and
no
so
power.
That's her M.O.
She has no power here. Exactly.
But that diatribe did not bring things back to order.
Let's have that discussion once we see what it do. But right now,
I want to hear about education. I want to hear about all of the things, the price of medicine. That's what I want to hear about. But I hear about any of that.
They've been trying to do all that, man, and they won't let them do it. You got a committee chair that ain't going to let it happen, bro. It just don't happen. You know how it works.
So those are the things we challenge. I understand it, but those are the things we challenge. This schoolyard girl fight kind of stuff, that's...
We got to go. That was elementary, right? That was high school.
Thank you.
That's junior high school stuff.
I mean, we don't
talk about what people look like. We don't talk about their appearance. That's not even her business, whatever Attorney Crockett decides that she wants to do with her personal appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's her business. No one else's.
The chairman was going to let it slide like it was nothing. It was going to bypass the rules.
It was nothing to him. It was nothing to him.
Yeah, and that's why.
If you just really want to go back and look at that, everything went over his head. Okay, we're going to have to end it. It's 10 o'clock.
I got two hearing aids.
Go ahead.
I see no you tomorrow. I got two hearing aids. Can't hear y'all. Remember that?
I'm sorry. Say again now.
I remember he said I got two hearing aids. I can't hear y'all. Remember he said that?
Yes.
Oh, he got two hearing.
That's what I'm saying. It went over his head. Okay. So, anyways, we can talk about this again. But we'll see how it goes because, like I said, it's continuing out in the community everywhere. That's all you hear is that it's going on. Thank you for being on, gentlemen. We always have a fun time. We always have a great dialogue. And
love you.
we learn from each other. So we'll see you next time, Miss Rihanna. If you're there, you can take it away. And we'll see you on next Monday. And tune in on Thursday if you get a chance. Didn't get a chance to talk about this gentleman that will be in the city and his story and what is going on with him. He's going to be in our Juneteenth parade, and he's going to be on our Thursday show. So join us if you can. We'll see you on next week. Bye for now. Miss Rihanna.
Good night, y'all.
When the glory comes, it will be out. It will be out. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be out. It will be out. Oh, one day. When the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Now the war.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon. It's to stay peaceful, we sing. Our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Thank you for listening, and good night. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.